Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Adani Ports and SEZ Q4 and FY 2023 earnings conference call hosted by Nuvama Wealth Management. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be in a listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Adil Khan from Nuvama Wealth Management. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Vikram. Good evening all, and welcome to the Q4 and financial year 2023 ended earnings con call of Adani Ports and SEZ. We would thank the management for offering us the opportunity to host the con call. I would also take this opportunity to introduce the senior management team present on the call. So today we have with us Mr. Karan Adani, CEO and Whole-time Director, Mr. Subrata Tripathi, CEO of the Ports Business, Mr. Vikram Jaisinghani, MD and CEO, Adani Logistics, Mr. D. Muthukumaran, CFO, Adani Ports, and Mr. Charanjit Singh, Head of Investor Relations and ESG. We would have initial remarks by the management team, post which we will open it up for Q&A. With this, I hand over the call to Mr. Charanjit Singh. Over to you, sir.
Thank you very much. Dear all, firstly, thank you very much for taking out the time to join our FY 2023 earnings call. My sincere apologies.
This call is now being recorded.
Sincere apologies for the inconvenience caused due to the change in call timing and further delays. Firstly, it was some delays to our board meeting, and thereafter we have faced technical issues on uploading the presentation and the results on the NSE website. Finally, it's uploaded on the BSE website, and therefore we are now live. Before I hand over the call to Mr. Karan Adani for his opening remarks, just a housekeeping point. For any queries relating to the group, you can reach out to me separately after the call, and I'll put you in touch with the right person. On the call, we will focus on Adani Ports and SEZ performance. Over to you, Mr. Karan Adani.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the FY 2023 conference call to discuss the operational and financial performance of Adani Ports and SEZ Limited. I'm pleased to announce the strongest ever full-year performance in the history of APSEZ, with various new milestones recorded during the year. Starting with the financials, APSEZ has outperformed against the revenue and EBITDA guidance provided at the beginning of the year, with operating revenue of rupees 20,852 crores and EBITDA of 12,833 crores, which is a year-on-year growth of around 22%. Due to sweating of assets, the EBITDA margin of logistics business increased by around 150 basis points to 28%, which is higher than most of the listed peers in India. The profit after tax for the year increased by 9% year-on-year to rupees 5,393 crores. This is even after factoring a write-off of around rupees 1,273 crores on account of sale of Myanmar asset. Moving to operational highlights, starting with port business, we achieved a cargo throughput of 339 million metric tons, which is a good 9% year-on-year growth. The previous benchmark of achieving 300 million metric tons of cargo in 354 days was surpassed during the year, as the feat was achieved in just 329 days. APSEZ also achieved its highest ever container volume of 8.8 million TEUs, with Mundra alone recording 6.6 million TEUs, which is 10% higher than its closest competition. We now have two ports, Mundra and Krishnapatnam, amongst the top 10 ports of India based on cargo volume handled. Several initiatives taken during the year that have helped boost cargo volumes include commissioning of a container terminal at Gangavaram, commissioning of liquid storage tanks at Kattupalli, mechanization of berth number 6 at Krishnapatnam, and acquisition of Haifa Port. Besides, we've added new cargo types at some of our ports. For example, Krishnapatnam port successfully added soybean, sulfur and sugar, while Dhamra port managed its first rice export to Bangladesh and added wheat and CR coils to its cargo portfolio. Moving to operational performance of logistics business, our overall volume managed saw a robust growth. The container rakes handled during the year achieved a new milestone of crossing 500,000 TEUs, which is a good 24% year-on-year jump. The bulk cargo transported was 14.35 million metric tons, implying a 63% year-on-year jump, while the terminal volumes increased by 19% year-on-year to around 359,000 TEUs. With addition of 18 rakes in FY23, total train count increased to 93 at the year end, which includes 43 container trains and 40 bulk trains. We have given orders for another 14 bulk trains and 24 container trains that are likely to arrive in the current financial year. During the year, 3 MMLPs were commissioned, including the acquisition of ICD2, taking the total count of MMLPs to 9. In the current financial year, we are targeting to commission 3 more multimodal logistics parks. Our total agri-silo capacity during the year increased to 1.1 million metric tons, with commissioning of new facilities at 4 locations. We will surpass our guided ambition of 2.5 million metric ton silo capacity by FY26 with the recent contracts won at 70 locations. Now let me share a brief on the investment made during the year. During FY23, APSEZ made total investment of around 27,000 crores, which includes around 18,000 crores spent on 6 acquisition and around 9,000 crores for organic capex. These investments were predominantly financed through internal accruals and the cash and cash equivalents held with the company. The 6 acquisitions made are: one, Haifa Port Company, which is the operator of Israel's largest port; Indian Oil Tanking, one of India's largest third-party liquid tank storage players; Ocean Sparkle, India's leading third-party marine service provider; ICD Tomb, one of India's largest ICD with a capacity of 500,000 TEU; Gangavaram Port, the third largest non-major port in India; and the recently acquired Karaikal Port, a deep-sea all-weather port in the state of Pondicherry. Despite a record investment of around 27,000 crores during the year, the gross debt to fixed asset ratio of APSEZ improved considerably, with ratio declining from 80% in FY19 to around 60% at the end of FY23. Our net debt to EBITDA ratio is almost flat at 3.1 times and well within our guided range of 3 to 3.5 times. During the year, we have won 5 bids. The 2 wins for the port businesses are berth 2 mechanization at Haldia Port and Greenfield Port Development at Tajpur in West Bengal. The 3 wins for the logistics business are the 70 silos, agri-silos spread across 8 states with a cumulative capacity of 2.8 million metric ton, the Loni ICD in NCR, and Valvada ICD near Gujarat-Maharashtra border. The investment made along with the 5 bids win during the year will enable APSEZ to achieve its targeted volume, cargo volume of 500 million metric ton in 2025 and speed up the transition of company's business model to a transport utility. An update on Myanmar asset. Pursuant to our 4th May announcement on Myanmar asset sale, APSEZ has received the sale consideration of USD 30 million from the buyer. In April 23, APSEZ announced the launch of the bond buyback program. The first tranche of the buyback of USD 130 million note due in June 24 is already completed. More such buybacks are likely to come in coming quarters. For FY23, the APSEZ board has recommended a dividend of rupees 5 per share in line with our capital allocation policy. This implies a payout of around rupees 1,080 crores. On the ESG front in 2022, APSEZ was ranked first in the transport and logistics sector across all emerging markets by Moody's. The S&P ranked APSEZ amongst the top 10 out of 300 plus companies in the transport and transport infrastructure globally, and Sustainalytics classified us as a low ESG risk company. Finally, coming to the guidance for FY24, we expect cargo volume in the range of 370 to 390 million metric ton, revenue within the range of 24,000 to 25,000 crores, and EBITDA in the range of 14,500 to 15,000 crores. Net debt to EBITDA ratio is expected to decline to around 2.5 times by March 24. This is factoring a capex of rupees 4,000 to 4,500 crores and scheduled loan repayments and bond prepayments. We can now open the forum for Q&A.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. To ask question, please press star one now. Take our first question from the line of Mohit Kumar from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir. Congratulations on a very good year, especially on the acquisitions. My first question is on the cargo volume growth guidance. Are you baking in Karaikal volumes in this? And the related question is that have you taken any tariff hikes in Mundra and across other ports in this fiscal?
Yes. This volume guidance does bake in Karaikal port. And the Karaikal port volume expected is between 8 million and 12 million tons. And tariff hike, yes, we have taken into account. We have taken into account on a per ton basis a hike of around 3 to 4%.
And have you taken the tariff hike?
Yes, we have. As you know, that generally we do all our negotiations in the quarter one. So a lot of those hikes have been, some of them have already been implemented and some are under negotiation. But we are very confident that by June, we would have most of those tariff hikes in place.
Understood, sir. My second question is on this on the color of the capex which you have penciled around 40 to 45 billion. Can you just detail out this capex? Where do you want this capex? Where this capex will go into?
So roughly 3,000 crores will go towards ports, and between 1,000 to 1,500 crores will go towards logistics business. And within the ports, most of it is going in commissioning the capacity expansions that we had undertaken last year.
Understood, sir. Thank you and all the best, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Abhiram Iyer from Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Hi. So this is regarding the qualified opinion that's mentioned in the auditor's note. It mentions that basically there's an EPC contract being done with a fellow subsidiary of such a group company, which the group has represented that the contractor is not a related party. Maybe know who the contractor is, and is this a sort of going against the principle which was expressed last time around, that any party, even with multiple levels going back up to the promoter group, would essentially be considered as a related party and disclosed as such.
Yeah, hi. See, as far as the details are concerned, we have given a response in Annexure 1 to the qualified opinion as required by the Stock Exchange and LODR. And there we have given full details with respect to the fact that we've been dealing with this contractor for now about a decade. And they've been actually commissioning all our projects, in time, on cost. And we have a relationship which is ongoing, and they've been delivering both. So this is just an ongoing thing. And pending investigation of SEBI and Supreme Court, auditors have decided to qualify this, and we will have final outcome once the investigation is over.
Not a related.
And this is not a related party, which we have also confirmed. And this is just an auditor's opinion in the context of ongoing investigation.
So could you give us details on the name of the counterparty, given that they are, as you mentioned, you have a significant relationship with them, so they have an impact on the group, right?
Yeah. The name of the contractor is Hove.
Sorry, COVID.
Hove.
Hove, okay. Got it. And the second question that I had was on the current buyback that was done. Given the fact that, is your net debt to EBITDA target of 2.5 by the end of March 2024 still on track, given that you're doing multiple foreign investments? I mean, recently Mr. Adani also mentioned that certain investments will be made in Vietnam as per new sources. Is that more farther down in the future or more immediate, which potentially might elevate back the leverage from the 2.5 target to more back to 3.5, which is a long-run target for the group?
We actually continue to have 2.5 as a target. There is no change in that. And when we gave the target for 2.5, remember, we have said that we will have both scheduled and unscheduled repayments to be done on the debt. And, what we have announced recently in terms of the buyback is, broadly within that same bucket of what we already captured in the calculation of 2.5. And as far as the Vietnam is concerned,
more long term.
It's a work in progress. And as things stand now, we don't anticipate anything coming in this financial year.
Understood. Thank you. I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Abhishek Nigam from B&K Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. So a couple of bookkeeping questions. One, if you could address why are other expenses and employee expenses higher on a QOQ basis? So that's my first question.
Yeah, so, we have acquired this asset, Haifa, Hello?
Yeah.
Sorry, there's a disturbance on the line. So basically, the expenditure increase on employee front is fundamentally attributable to the Haifa, where the business model we have shared at the time of acquisition, we are by and large in line with, what we have announced already. And this is consequent to us consummating the deal in the first quarter.
Q4. Okay. And other expenses will be similar, mainly Haifa impact, is it?
Yes, that's right.
Fair enough. So this is kind of the run rate which we should assume will be the normalized run rate going forward.
In the near term, yes.
Fair enough. Second, if you can just talk about, demand trends on port volumes, especially on the container side, how do you see FY24 evolving in terms of, volumes on a YOY basis? The overwhelming sentiment right now is that volumes are sort of picking up, but nobody sees a, very strong recovery. So do you agree with that?
So we do expect country GDP to grow at around 6.5%, and we do expect pan-India trade volume to be growing at around 7%, 7 to 7.5%. and that's why we are looking at between 10 to 12% growth in our volumes.
Fair enough. That's helpful. Last question from me, if you can just talk about, you know, the Dhamra terminal, what is happening there, and in case it is possible to give us some guidance in terms of, you know, EBITDA contribution, or at least in terms of utilization, where do you see it ramping up, say, over the next 3 quarters?
Are you talking about Dhamra LNG?
Yeah, Dhamra LNG terminal, yes.
So Dhamra LNG terminal, it's as you know, we've commissioned the terminal in month of April. As you know, it is a 5 million ton terminal, and we have a take or pay contract of 4.5 million tons, 3 million with Indian Oil Corporation and 1.5 million ton with GAIL. The line has been commissioned by GAIL, and we don't see any bottleneck over there. It's a 50-50 joint venture with Total Group, as you know, this terminal. So we do expect volume to be this year around 2.5 million metric ton, based on the take or pay contract that we have, and based on the bookings that have been done. And we expect that 2.5 to be ramped up next year to full 4.5 million tons.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Shabad Tadani from Arkan Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. My question's been answered. Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Ashmita Sidhu from MetLife Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, everyone. Thank you for taking my question. I just have a very quick one. You have mentioned in the last results call that Adani Ports is looking to reduce the remaining share pledges that are taken on by the company to zero in 2024. So can you just share with us a rough timeline on how that reduction has been going, and when do we expect to see the full reduction? Will it be at March or will it be earlier? Thank you.
Yeah, so if you look to the disclosures, what we have made as of 31st March, the share pledge is down from 17% to 4%. So in line with the guidance provided and the commitment to reduce the pledge, it's already done, largely taken care of. And we will be moving towards zero in a year's or so time.
Okay, that's really good. Thank you very much. I'll go back in the queue.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Achal Lohare from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening. Thank you for the opportunity. Wanted to check about the volume guidance, you know, in terms of A, key ports which are going to drive this growth, and B, you know, in terms of the commodities, we have seen the coal has been a significant growth actually in FY23. So how do you see specifically for coal, you know, given the way things are playing out?
Yeah, so in terms of, I'll answer your second question first. So we do expect coal growth to continue. However, we do see more growth coming from from domestic coal movement through coastal route, more happening from that. So we expect around 14 to 15% growth in the domestic coal volume. Imported coal volume, we do expect growth of around 7 to 8%. And on the non-thermal coal, so cooking coal, we expect a growth of, again, between 15 to 18% compared to last year. I'm talking as a pan-India. And over there, we will obviously look at capturing as much share as possible. From our portfolio, we expect major growth coming from Krishnapatnam, from Dhamra, and Krishnapatnam, Dhamra, and Gangavaram, and as well as Mundra.
Right. Now, the second question I had, you know, with respect to the greenfield port you talked about in West Bengal, Is there anything planned? I mean, it seems you've not baked in any number with respect to that port in FY24. But how do we see this evolving? I mean, in terms of the presence on the east and the west coast, are we already there, or are there any more organic or greenfield as well as acquisition targets possible?
Sure. So on Tajpur port, we've just signed an LOI. We are in discussions with the West Bengal government to sign a concession agreement. Post the signing of concession agreement, the environment clearance and that process will start. So a realistic timeline for Tajpur port to have any real construction to begin is 24 months before any capex on ground is pushed. In terms of other locations, we keep evaluating opportunity. There are a lot of opportunities which will come up in 2027-28 when a lot of the terminals will be coming for an expiry. So we will look at, we keep evaluating the opportunity both on the east coast as well as west coast of the country.
Understood. This is very helpful. I'll fall back in the queue. Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Vikram Suryavanshi from Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir. Just wanted to update on this logistics side of the business, where we have around 33 container trains and planning to add around 24.
Please use the handset, sir. We're not able to hear you very well. Your audio is not very clear. Please use the handset and repeat your question again. Thank you.
Sure. Is it audible now?
Yes, please go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Just on this logistics side of a business, where we have 43 container trains and planning to add 24, which is almost like a 50% growth. While we are seeing slowdown in economy and export, so with such kind of addition, how is the outlook, and where are we really looking at the market share gain, or will it be used for domestic operation also? So if you can give some clarity on that opportunity, it would be helpful.
So, Vikram, the growth that we are looking at is predominantly, as you see, we have opened up new MMLPs. So to serve those markets, so we have Nagpur, we have Mumbai, we have Vapi, Loni, as well as Tum, where we'll be expanding. So all of these places we would be looking to move cargo from road to rail. That's the predominant focus. And it's not just about taking market share from the competing ICD. Predominantly, if you see the 43 trains that we have deployed, our capacity utilization is at 95-96%, and and in order to continue the growth, we do expect the addition of capacity of the trains will help us in continuing with the growth for the container. So we believe that 25 trains over the course of next 12 months will help us to continue with the growth journey of at least 20-22% growth on the container side. Vikram, you want to add anything?
Yeah, I think it's also important to note that the delivery of these trains are going to come in a phased manner. It's not that 24 trains are coming immediately in this month or the next month. Every passing month, we'll have delivery of one train each, and this 24 will come in by the end of the year. And then at the end of the year, we have to position ourselves for the next year's growth as well, where we'll add more terminals. And these current new terminals will even gain further volumes. So it's a two-year horizon that we have taken into account. And we are well prepared to meet the growth, not only this year, but the coming year also.
Got it. To support this then domestic growth, how is the container availability? Are we importing from China, or because the kind of containers required for this domestic operation will also be quite huge?
No, so at this point of time, our container availability is sufficient. We had already built container inventory by a mix of some China imports, but we also developed a local supplier. But going forward, now that the suppliers are developed, and Indian suppliers are capable of manufacturing containers, all the future growth or future procurement of containers will come from Indian suppliers.
Got it. And one last question on Haifa port. Basically, apart from the port volume, we were also looking at real estate revenue from that basically business. So how is the development happening on that side?
See, the real estate is actually going to be the long, medium term to long term plan. It was not going to come this year or the next year. So we have embarked on the journey of unlocking the value from real estate. We have started, you know, sort of getting people on board, having initial plans. So it's going on track, but nothing, you know, was ever expected in the medium term.
If you look into the presentation, the disclosures we have made at the time of acquisition of Haifa Port, there it is clearly highlighted that for any sort of real estate revenue to come through, it will easily take 2-3 years. So the development will first need to happen, and then only we can start realizing the value out of it. The current set of development which is there is very small, and there's a huge potential. So if you go through the details, you will really understand that it is primarily from the 4th year or 5th year when the revenue when the realizations start to creep in at a material size.
Got it. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Himanshu Porwal from Seaport Global. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, and thank you for giving me the opportunity. A couple of questions. If you can just quickly share your current liquidity, including any bank facilities, and secondly, any fundraising plans in the year ahead, predominantly on the debt or equity side. There have been several reports about the Adani Group of companies looking for some private placement. So if you can just throw some light on that. Thank you.
Sure. See, as far as the liquidity is concerned, the total cash in the balance sheet as of 31st March is 9,800 crores. And, you know, as far as fundraising plan is concerned, no, we have no, you know, sort of requirement. And we have told you in the beginning of the year that we are in the journey of deleveraging for this year. So that's what our current focus is. So there is no fresh fundraise anticipated in this year.
Okay. And anything on the bank facilities side? So I assume 9,800 is the cash on balance sheet, but anything on the credit facility?
No. At this point in time, we don't need any fresh loan for the purpose of meeting our plan that we have laid out.
All right. So with these liquidity balances, you are comfortable along with your existing cash flow from operations to meet all your capex as well as future debt requirements, right?
That's right.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take a next question from the line of Abhishek Nigam from B&K Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you so much for the opportunity again. So SEZ income, you know, regular guidance has been about 800 to 900 crores in revenue every year. I understand maybe this year it's kind of chunky and it was closer to about 400 odd crores. So for next year, will you still guide 8 to 900 crores in revenue, or is there a revision guidance?
No, so our guidance, what guidance that we have given on revenue, that takes into account only 500 crores from SEZ. We don't expect more income coming right this year.
Okay, fair enough. And the second question is just on Concor. So, you know, I think the previous call that we did, there was some level of, concern that maybe because of the evolving situation, maybe you would want to wait and maybe Concor is not really a priority. Now, in case that divestment goes through are you still interested like you were before the, you know, entire event which unfolded in the last 3 months?
So we will evaluate, but as Muthu said, our focus is deleveraging. So we would look at priorities to bring the net debt to EBITDA 2.5. And if we can, even achieving that 2.5 guidance, if we can still manage to somehow do Concor, we will do it. We will evaluate.
Fair enough. That's very clear. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Abhiram Iyer from Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
So just a quick, more technical question here. But could you provide a breakup of the cash balances about 100 billion INR, which is mentioned in the presentation? Because if I look through the balance sheet and tally up the cash and equivalent cash and bank balances on the current asset side and on the non-current asset side, these come up to around 60, 62, 63 billion. Understand there are a few investments, but most of these seem to be investments held. So are these also classified as liquid investments held via the equity method? Are these also looked at as an equity as a liquid equivalent? And if so, could you please highlight what this is about, given the high number?
I'll explain. Actually, see, in the balance sheet, actually the money, the cash balance and bank balance is sitting in different places. The first one is the bank deposit maturing over 12 months, 1553.
Yep.
And the next one we have is investments, which is 4029.
Okay.
And the next one, yeah, the next one we have is 932, which is cash and cash equivalents. And the last one we have is bank balances other than the above, which is 3317. And all these, when there is a need, are liquidatable overnight when we need.
Got it. Got it. And the second question is pertaining to, the second question is pertaining to assets for sale. This is still sort of maintained at around, 194 crores, 19 billion. Given the fact that Myanmar was already considered sold and that's why you took the loss on valuation, what assets are these, or is this still Myanmar because it wasn't transferred over until Q1?
That is correct. That's the answer. It's only Myanmar.
Okay, so you took the write down, but you didn't do the transfer. That's why there's the difference.
That's correct. It's an event occurring after the balance sheet date, so we have to provide for full impact on 31st March. However, the actual entry will happen in the first quarter.
Understood. Understood. Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Asmita Sidhu from MetLife Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you very much for getting me on again. I just have a follow-up for ADINCO, so the Adani container terminal. Could you just give us a brief update on how the utilization at the container has been, and if possible, what the export-import and the transshipment split has been for the container terminal over the last 12 months?
Yeah, so the capacity of Adani International Container Terminal is roughly 3 million TEUs. Volume, and we are running at 80% capacity utilization over there. And roughly transshipment volume over there is 20% of the volume, and balance is exempt. And in Exim, it is quite balanced in terms of import and export.
All right. Thank you very much. I'll jump back into you.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Nikhil from AllianceBernstein. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity. Just wanted to check if there is any update on Vizhinjam and the Sri Lanka terminal.
Sure. On Vizhinjam, we expect the first vessel to berth in October of this year. That's when we expect the first equipments to come. We expect the first phase one, that is 400 meters, to be commissioned by March of 2024, the balance by May of 2024. So we expect the full commissioning of Vizhinjam port by May of 2024. In terms of Colombo, we have completed the reclamation of the terminal, and the construction, the jetty construction, has just commenced. We expect Colombo terminal to be commissioned by December of 2024, which is again phase one of almost 1 kilometer.
Good to hear the progress. But the second question I had was on Mundra container handling capacity. As you mentioned, it's 80% of the utilization. Expansion plans on that front, if you could share some color on that, Mundra Container Handling.
Yeah. I just want to clarify. The earlier question was related to one of the terminals. It was not as overall Mundra Port. So Mundra Port capacity utilization on container is 70%, and we are in midst of expanding one of our terminals, which is Terminal 2, and where right now it is half a million TU capacity, where we are taking up to 1.2 million, and that's basically just addition of the addition of equipments that we are doing over there, and we expect this should be able to take us at least in terms of growth for the next 2 years.
Got it. One last question, if I may. So on the Mundra concession beyond 2031, has there been any update from the Gujarat government, or is status quo as last time?
No, it is status quo as same as last time.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you. A reminder to participants, if you wish to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your touchtone phone now. We take the next question from the line of Bharani Vijay Kumar from Avendus Spark. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening. Can you highlight the potential in terms of volumes and say in profitability or revenue from Karaikal port in FY24?
Yeah, so as I said, Karaikal, we expect between 8 and 12 million is what we are looking at in terms of volume. It's predominantly a bulk port right now, where it's predominantly coastal coal as well as cooking coal and fertilizer, which is coming in. Roughly, the EBITDA over there is close to 300 crores is what the port makes as an EBITDA. Between 300 to 350 crores.
Sure. And so this asset would be consolidated from the beginning of 24 itself.
Yes, that's right.
Sure. Okay. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we have reached the end of the question and answer session, and I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Over to you, gentlemen.
So thank you very much for taking out the time, and apologies once again for the delay and the inconvenience caused. I know that there wasn't sufficient time for many of the people to look at the presentation and the results. So feel free to reach out to me for any queries that you may have. We are available all times, so as late in the night, whatever you want to call, feel free and we'll answer all your questions. So thank you once again.
Thank you very much, sir. Thank you, members of the management. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Nuvama Wealth Management, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining with us. You may now disconnect your lines.